Pleasant good morning to you, listeners. This is Lisa Gale. This is Down to Brass Tacks. We go until 1:30 p.m. Mr. Dennis Johnson is the producer and all things technical. Today is the 11th of October, 2018. Looking forward to hearing your calls. I actually wanted to focus a little bit today on how can we recalibrate as a people in these difficult economic times. I know we've had quite a bit of discussion on what's going on as it relates to debt exchange, as it relates to IMF. But there is a person out there, or a set of persons, who have very little, and they're wondering, how am I going to survive? And I want to suggest that there's hope. I want to suggest that there are different ways that we can address our challenges as a country, as a people. We can look out for other people who are less fortunate. We can also still try to save despite what little we have. We can use a little less than what we currently use, and we can still give. That's my suggestion. I think we're going to go into a little bit more in terms of, if you're buying 3 days lunch, you can probably buy two or buy one, because we know that the person who is selling the food still wants to continue to thrive in business and to employ the persons who they're employing to carry out their business. There are some of you who have also, or who will be losing their jobs, some who've already lost them. And I'm supposing that there are ways in which we can use enterprise and entrepreneurship as ways and means to assist our families. Some of us are the only breadwinner, and therefore we despair at the potential possibilities at this time. My comment is that there's hope. My comment is that there are different ways that we can address our finances from a personal household. And then I also want to suppose and to suggest that there's nothing wrong with trying a hand in smaller business. And I specifically say smaller business because we have micro, those very small businesses who are just self-sustaining. And there are other types who bring in different levels of revenue. But as a startup, there are many opportunities for startup in Barbados right now. And I would encourage you not to see the road as the end of the road. We can probably think of, I'm never going to invest again, some people say. But there are different ways you can invest. You can invest in yourself, in fact. And I think I would like to explore some of those possibilities today. And my word is that there's hope. The numbers to call, 434-1790. Number to call, 434-1790. And we will take your WhatsApps, 266-4862. Look forward to hearing you today on Down to Brass Tacks. This is Down to Brass Tacks. We have a caller on the line. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. Yes, you're on. Good morning.
First time caller. I would like to say how much I appreciate having your voice on the radio. It's a nice change. Very pleasant lady. Very articulate and very intelligent, I must admit. On point most times, and on point all the time. And I hope very much to be hearing quite a bit more of you. Well, that's all.
Sounds like you are not a first time listener, but you might be a first time caller.
Okay, yeah, well, you know, you encouraged me to call, I have to admit. Okay. But I've got to say something as well, too, because, all right, I mean, the things that you speak about hope and stuff, that would encourage conversation. I got to rather hear you talk, that, because I know I might probably disagree with most of what you got to say, but that's all right. I would like to at least just get what I got on my chest off, if you don't mind, all right? Because I was accused of bashing the legal profession. You know, I was not bashing. I was trashing the legal profession, only because I thought that they should be like everybody else, competing in the real market, bringing their skills to the market, and have people choose and decide on their price based on their worth.
And that, you know, doesn't happen effort. Now.
No, their fees are connected to the value of land and the value of contracts and the value of settlements, and they also are defended through law, the sliding scale. is put in law. I think the FTC should really get into that situation and regularize that particular operation.
So is it is not regularized? Is that what you're saying? With the existing scale that exists?
Yeah, right. They should all that entire policy of putting minimum scales and stuff in law should not be allowed. Let everybody compete like everybody else. I don't see where they should be any more special than me. If people don't like what I do, they just don't pay. If they want to pay me 2 cents and they say, boy, you're real desperate, I will take 2 cents, I will go for it. In their case, they're not allowed legally to take no 2 cents. They have to take the barest minimum as prescribed by law. And that, I think, is completely, totally wrong. But that is not trashing. The problem is, the man tell me that I'm trashing and I'm being oversimplistic and so on. And then, 10 minutes later, another guy called in and said how hurt he was that it has taken 8 years for an insurance settlement even to come to court. You can't even get the kind of people in, because people are always going on vacation, the lawyer up on vacation, something gets happened, everything gets adjourned. 8 years, he can't get it. He'll probably be dead before these things happen. Miss Ram came to this program about 5 years ago and said that her case has now been taken 25 years. Can't get nowhere. I think it's between her and the Starcom. I ain't too sure who it was. 25 years, can't get nowhere. And these are the same lawyers that I am standing accused of trashing. Now, here's the reason why this thing can happen and continue to happen till we die. When a lawyer goes into court, you go in there, you see all these men standing up with these files in their hands and stuff. Somebody is paying them for the time that they're spending in there. If they got 5 files in their hand, 5 different people are paying them per hour for the time that they are spending in there. That court ain't going to work. The judge ain't going to come work. The other opposing lawyers don't have to be there. They will still get paid anyway. And that tells me that you're dealing with an environment, with a system, with a process that is not broke. It's just designed not to work. Because if people could survive in such a dilapidated condition, it's obvious that they're surviving as per design. And my problem has always been, it is from that environment that our prime ministers are chosen, and our deputy prime ministers are chosen, and our ministers of housing are chosen. And this is a problem that I have always had. Because you cannot come to me from that environment and say, I have the solutions to fix Barbados. It's a fraudulent exercise.
How could you possibly do it? Question for you, if you allow me.
How could you put... I'm sorry.
Question for you. You're against the existing sliding scale. What do you propose as an alternative?
If you come to me and say that you have to do a conveyance, I say you would charge me $10 to convince. Go there, you got about 500 lawyers, boy. I want this competition. I want this money. I would say, all right, we do it down there. You have to come to me knowing that you got competition and give me a competitive price. And I would say, but I know you do a good job. I would choose you. I don't care if you promise me $10. I think you do a good job. I will choose you and pay the $10 as opposed to the man that come next door for $5. That is what competitive pricing is all about. You pay based on the competition, based on the reputation that you have to do whatever job it is that you're doing. And it is not in any way connected to the size of the contract, the size of the settlement. It has everything to do with your worth and how I perceive your worth to be. That is what I want. Does that make sense to you,
ma'am? That's not sufficient because...
That's not sufficient?
No. Okay. Let's take it out of the legal profession and go to a supermarket.
Don't we stick and look at a particular product. Man. Okay, cool. All right.
And how we arrive at the pricing for the product.
Right.
Essentially, what you're saying is that you are against either the markups, the duties that imposed on the particular product.
No. When you buy a product off the shelf, you're buying a tangible. You're buying a tangible for which you have a very good idea or some kind of idea that it would have cost to import, and there would have been something attached in terms of other costs to bring it to the shelf. You appreciate the fact that there are certain costs involved, including the payment of staff. The whole idea of marking up 400-500%, yes, I find that revolting. But the markup is based on the product, which is a tangible.
And the act that speaks to the pricing for which either a QC or a normal attorney at law can charge, you're saying that you're against that.
It's a service. They're providing me a service. And it's them alone.
Okay.
And they only pay for typists. I'm sorry, or clerical office, clerical person or something.
One of the things we learned at school was... There is a value for going to school for a longer time period than a typical person.
All right.
And they're, like, for example, with medical professionals.
Yeah, they go to school for 7 or 8 years.
They go to school for an inordinately long time.
And they save lives.
And therefore, well, the lawyer...
And they're paid a fixed fee. They're paid a fixed fee like
anybody
else.
No.
And their fees start. Go overseas and get one done. Like whatever you want done, you can go overseas.
But you could go overseas and get a lawyer if you are having a challenge with the existing lawyers.
I'm committed. I'm committed to those transactions here in Barbados. Why can't? Or maybe I have to go to the Caribbean. I'd even think somebody could come to try down and do work down here, unless they get a special arrangement or something.
I think your argument goes further. Your argument goes further than with the legal profession, though.
No, because
your argument speaks to the difference between products and services, and you have a bias against services.
I have a bias against the propelling of services ahead of everything else. I have a problem with people who come and say to the public, oh, Barbados is futures and services, and that kind of crap. That's positive.
But over 85% currently right now of our contribution to GDP comes from a service base. We are a service based economy.
That is, yes, but it doesn't mean that look at our future. People say we are bankrupt. Because obviously the policies that were in trail for the years that, by people who have always pushed the services things have gone completely wrong. The evidence is right before you. Okay. So you're going to keep saying the futures in services when you see that your service-oriented people have made some silly decisions over the years, and here we are where we are. You cannot say your future is going to be based on something that has not worked for the past 30, 35 years.
It's difficult to convince you.
But you see, you have changed the direction of this particular discussion. I'm just saying to you, you cannot charge somebody. If I'm to pay you, I have to be paying you on your worth.
I heard your point. You're not agreeing or disagreeing. You're not going on your road. No, but I'm telling you that look at it from a more broad perspective.
No, but that's as broad as you could possibly get. These guys and the guys who value land, man come and value your land. You come and look at the house and say, but...
So question for you. Can you read legislation and interpret it and make representation on behalf of a client? Can you do that in your normal life?
Answer the question, can you do it? No, I can read, of course, it's English language.
And therefore we need legal practitioners to assist us in those regards.
No, you may very well say so, but then a lawyer will also tell you, a lawyer speaks a lawyer, he's talking to you as an ordinary person. You might have this law down pat even better than him, but he will not talk to you because you're not a lawyer. So therefore you're still wrapped into the process where you're forced to engage their skills. I don't mind, even if what you say is true, the point is that I want to pay them based on their worth, are not based on the size of the land or the size of the arrangement that I'm or the loan or whatever it is that we are being involved with. And that is, I mean, come on, what could be so wrong about that? But that is not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that the guy called me, said, "Hey, trash illegal thing," because I came in that particular position. He said, "Hey, trash it."
Don't worry about the guy. Get over him.
Yes. I mean, come on, when people stop defending foolishness, you can't get over these people.
You have to move on. Today's a new day. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
You're prophesizing again. You even asked me if I'm a Muslim. You don't force it down my throat.
No, I'm telling you that this is the day the Lord has made. The Muslims believe in Allah, who's their God.
But suppose I'm not even a Muslim either.
Well, you use that as a reference.
There's a certain level of fair play you have to accept when you go before that microphone and you're speaking to people that you don't even know, you probably have never even met. I am not opposed to lawyers making a living. I just want them to make a living the way everyone else does, a competitive way and not being defended through law. And further, if you really want these people to do work, the law courts will be working. The law courts do not work. People need to have things settled. That whole scenario needs to be fixed.
I can agree with you that the law court, the speed
but
with
that's
which
the head office, that is where that's where they conduct the bulk of their business. You ever had a domestic issue that required a settlement, and you take it to your law court? The judge can look at you and tell you, "Listen to your lawyers here. Listen to your lawyers." So you go back with the same situation. You got a lawyer, them got a lawyer, and what the lawyer will say, "I will act as your advocate." And the other lawyer will say, "I will act as his advocate." And before you know it, two advocates acting, and you still don't get a settlement. But all people want is to say, "I want resolution to what is right and what is wrong." But judge will rather defer that to the lawyers. And the lawyers ain't going to do it because they're advocates too. So you still have a situation where even outside the law courts, things still do not get done.
So we can conclude...
We can conclude
that you have a serious challenge with the existing way in which the legal profession is allowed to charge for its services.
Well, what are the services?
That's what we can conclude.
But the thing is that if there is an issue...
Do you have anything else to add? We are clear on what your position is. Can you add anything else?
Yeah, hold on. But is that trashing the profession?
I told you, get over the gentleman. We will have difference of opinions with other people.
Because your opinion hasn't been made clear. You're just probably trying to translate what I've said, but you haven't actually given an opinion on it, because you probably think I'm talking nonsense too.
No. Did you ask me for my opinion?
Of course. Michael, you would always love your opinion.
No, you didn't ask me for my opinion.
Truth be told, I suspect your opinion would be opposed to mine.
I don't
recall
what I would say,
ever agreeing with me on anything.
You want to hear it now?
Yes, ma'am, please.
Right. I think that there has to be some sense that has gone into the planning for payment or charging for the legal profession. I don't think it just was, you know, born out of a hat. And I think
ago.
That I
100 years ago.
I think that the way how you believe that
2018.
Could you let me finish, please?
Sorry.
You're saying that it is not competitive, but you can choose whichever lawyer you want.
That's not competitive enough.
Okay. And that's my opinion on it. So I think we can conclude that we don't have necessarily the same perspective on it. But I thank you for your contribution today. This is Dr. Brastacks.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Hey. First of all, Ms. Gill, I just want to take a quick opportunity here to wish my aunt, my cousin Jerry, and my other cousin Hayden, my aunt Celestine, all the best, given that there is some challenges emotionally because her husband has passed on, Ronald. So I just wanted to make it known over the year, not necessarily nationally, but that just to them in case they're out there listening in some respect. All right, so with that out of the way, I wanted to support what the first caller, the point he was making. The bottom line point he was making, in my view, is he has a challenge with the lawyers being able to charge a minimum fee by the scale system that they use. I personally would like that the system be more in line with what he just described, where is I pay for your service in a competitive environment based on what you're delivering to me, what you and I are able to negotiate on.
Who sets the competition? I'm trying to understand the basis. You all are disagreeing that it is competitive.
For me, but I just said, this is how we interpret what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't mind, not knowing you intimately like that, in the consulting world, if there are three consultants that put forward a tender for me for a service they want to offer me because they said, well, I would like consultancy on this issue. Is there a skill system, or is it that you have to write a bid for your services against whatever else your comparison may be writing to me?
There's actually a minimum, and the minimum is based, as I was trying to share with him, which is why I moved away from legal to a supermarket looking at pricing. You have an hourly rate. You have a cost base. There are certain things you need to do to get to provide that service. If it is ABC, what are the three costs for ABC? And then that's your minimum. So I think within every profession, there has to be some minimum. And I don't disagree with there being a minimum.
In the case of lawyers, and they're not supposed to feel like they're being attacked. But even if they felt that way, they're lawyers, so I'm sure that they can defend their position. I just feel that we need to get to a place. But again, lawyers ultimately will have to be ones who write these new approaches. But I just feel the skill system is one I would like to see done away with. Where, for example, I'm selling some land, it's $250,000 in final price.
You end up with a percentage of that, yeah.
Right. So for me, if there's a young lawyer just come off the bar or join the bar and is now struggling for clientele and can produce the same conveniences in such like a QC, for example, or maybe not a QC, but a person who's been practicing for the last 10, 12 years,
mm-hmm.
I would like to know that young lawyer is can say to me, look, I can give you this. We went to school together. No, I got the bag because I'm going to be more personal. I go on to him or her, and he or she can say to me, I'm going to charge you, let's say, I try to build clientele, and hopefully you'll come back for future business with me. So give me $3,000 as opposed to, let's say, on the percentage scale system, that transaction may cost me $15,000. If that sounds too simple, you get the overall gist of what I'm saying. But I just wanted to put that out there that I kind of see where he's coming from, and I do support that thinking as it relates to the scale system as well. So moving away from that, I saw on your front page and heard on the news last night the issue with soil and parkland from Canada, right? And I just wanted to get your view. When it comes to business, businesses make decisions and strategic decisions in terms of where they want to see themselves looking at 10, 15, 25 years. You don't make decisions necessarily 6 months, 5 months, at least properly run businesses. You agree?
Yes.
Right. In the case of this, I just wonder if this was part of their long-term play. We can't know, but the idea of buying, of acquiring the BNTCL not so long ago, I just wonder if this was probably going to be long-term play because...
Saul didn't acquire BNTCL alone.
No, I wonder if the attempt to acquire it was part of their long-term strategic plan because it is interesting for me looking on that that did not materialize in their favor. But what had happened was we have a situation now where in terms of business, that was like yesterday in terms of business and planning. And here is that Parkland came in and took up 75% interest in this. So for me, I just wonder if the country, given that the country kind of owns BNTCL, I just wonder if we... was fortunate not to have a low soul, or soul was, what could put this? I just wonder if it was a good thing, and I'm not saying that Parkland buying or getting 75% is a bad thing. I just wonder if, you know, it gives an opportunity for people to look and see how when private interests come to acquire certain things from government, that you don't just necessarily look at, this is $100 million that we can bring in, but what may be the ramifications of such? Because we could have gone ahead, done that deal, and then realized, well, this thing now has moved from a locally owned company to Seoul, and it's now 75% owned by interest of thing. It's going to have an issue with people buying into the country because the country needs it. And it often goes back to the idea of the same way people left Barbados in the 50s and 60s and went to England and did business, got jobs. I don't know why Barbados is so tough on people coming into our country doing business. So this is not to come off as though I have an issue with the Canadian company. All right, so just one last thing here before I go. I also wonder if there's any truth to this perception over the years of BLP, DLP, and businesses seeming to like to move forward when the BLP is in office because the Barbados Liberal Party has gotten office just a few months now. And I moved around this morning. And I noticed that opposite Plain Transport and Transcat Limited at Kangi Hill, that Massey has pretty much moving forward now with breaking ground and pursuing their intent there.
That didn't know happen, though.
No, the acquiring of the land did not happen. But I'm talking about you can acquire land 15 years ago, Ms. Gill, but you know you may decide to get active on it yesterday. So I just wonder, and I say, you know, sometimes it's always been a perception that the Barbados Liberal Party, because these people could have the land, they could have done this, let's say, a year ago. Maybe they didn't do it because of common country planning, EPA, what have you.
But you don't start building immediately.
I agree with you. That's what you said. You could have owned land 15 years ago and get active on it from 2 months, you know, ago or from next week. So I just wondered because I've noticed that Promotech and now there's a company there just west of the Battle on the Boat that has garnered their interest as well. So to my mind, there was a perception before that and there was a charge made to the private sector that they're holding back the economy because a lot of them are holding funding and not investing it under the last administration. I am not for or against whether or not that is true. I just wondered because it's a few months now and businesses are rolling out, breaking ground, and going, which is a good thing. So I just want to put out there and get your thoughts. If you heard the perception before, and if it's something that you ever pondered whether or not there's any truth to it. And that's it. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks for your contribution. Yes, there are people who have that perception, and you know, perception is not anything you can you can determine that that's what people, in other words, it's self-determined. So if that's what some people think, well, sure, they're fine for them to believe it. The only comment I'll make on the other points in terms of business and moving forward, decisions are made with projections in mind. And if you put out a bid and you're unsuccessful, you just put out another bid and you keep going. So that in the attempt to acquire BNTCL, that was only but one of the tactics. Then you find other tactics and all of them don't work. So just like in lead generation, you keep going after varying leads. All of them aren't going to be successful, but you keep going. And that's good business sense. So that would be my response to that. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Down to Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes. Good morning, Mrs. Gale. As we're sitting here.
Hi, good morning, sir.
Yes. Before I get into the substance of my presentation, I thought I would share with you an experience I had the other night when I drove to the Arabar Center for Creative Imagination to hear the symposium on the global financial crisis and the implications for Barbados and the rest of the Caribbean. Mm-hmm. The information that I, on the basis of which I attended the session, did not say that you had to pay to attend the session. And lo and behold, when I got there at the center, a young lady who was registering attendees said to me I had to pay $120. It shocked me because had I known before that I had to pay to attend the session, providing important information that would help Barbados to understand where we are in terms of the collapse of Lehman Brothers and the ramifications for Barbados and the rest of the Caribbean. And in particular, the contribution of Dr. Ram, who has been in the forefront of educating Caribbean people of what we have to do to help to get out of the crisis, and other outstanding professionals, Dr. Robinson, Dr. Lowe, and so on. I thought it was not to tell us beforehand that you had to pay $120. Lo and behold, when you get there, to be presented with this request. So I turned away. Let me say I did not attend the session on principle because I thought that information in the public domain is that you should not have to pay to hear outstanding professionals share with us their insights on such an issue as the global financial crisis.
Two questions for you. Did you see the flyer that was shared beforehand?
No, that's the point. I said I based my attendance on information I saw in the media in both papers, The Nation, The Advocate, which did not say you had to pay. So there might have been down communication somewhere, and that official release did not say you had to pay.
Okay, so the flyer does have the price on it.
Right, but I went in good faith on the strength of what I saw in The Nation and The Advocate, which didn't indicate you had to pay.
Okay.
I'm only saying that.
They do advertise, or they put in the media diary what is upcoming, but they don't normally put the pricing. That's consistent. That's not inconsistent. So unfortunately, you were not aware that there was a pricing for that.
But I'm not supposed to have seen the flyer. You know, I based my information on reading the newspapers. Okay. And it said both papers had information on the panelists, on the purpose of the discussion, but there was no indication that there was a fee involved.
Okay. Anyhow, it wasn't just a discussion, it was a cocktail following, so maybe that's where the pricing was necessary.
Fair enough. In terms of the substance of my ideas, I note with interest and the statement by the Attorney General that there's a proposal to reactivate the Law Reform Committee.
Yes.
I think this is very positive because in the new society that we're trying to create in Barbados now necessitates a look at the legal framework that would guide the way forward for Barbados. And the number of things that come to my attention, and in terms of the institutions created by some of the laws that I think we have, in my opinion, should be looked at. The social partnership, for example, I believe the whole question of policy formulation and consensus building on the way forward entails strengthening of the social partnership. That's an ongoing debate.
But where would that sit within with respect to the law?
Well, because the source of partnership is now being added to the portfolio of the Minister of Labor. One, if you, I'm sure you
that
know
was
that.
Always the portfolio always, of the Minister of Labor. It's just a, it's a new title.
Right.
But the Minister of Labor always had responsibility for social partnership.
Right, right. But the point, this is not related specifically to law reform,
okay,
but to institution building, strengthening.
Yeah, I can support that for sure.
Right. And in this context, the need to have the Barbados Workers Union return to C2SAB as a way of enhancing organized labor's response and participation, response to and participation in the discussion, mm-hmm, is absolutely vital, both in terms of the voice of labor and also in the wider area of organized labor's response to the industry relations, employment relations changes
and that will changing never policies right. Or to changing policies that would impact,
yes,
on labor as well.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And the ongoing tension or dispute between the BW and C2SAB should not be a difficult issue to resolve. And I'm aware that there was an initiative, a proposal elsewhere within a certain organization to have a prominent Barbadian try to mediate the issue between the workers' union and the C2SAB. That is absolutely critical in terms of orderliness and tidiness of how the social partnership and C2SAB conduct their affairs.
Which one is critical for the resumption of BW into affairs of the C2SAB?
Yes.
But the BW has indicated very, very clearly, year in, year out, that it has no interest in rejoining C2SAB in its current form. We're going to make that call every year for the C2SAB and BW to come back.
Well, the recent the departure of the meeting of office from office of the last
president,
Mr. Morrill,
yes, you just a couple months ago.
He made, he's no longer there. I mean, she said that it is necessary, imperative for the BW to come back to the fore, so to speak. He recognized
He's been
that.
Saying that for the last few years. So I'm only asking you if what is going to change, because it wasn't because of him that BW demitted that, not necessarily office, but exited the organization. What different is there? I don't know what it is that BW is dissatisfied with. Some people argue that it was a decision that the C2SAB took or the minister took at that time. But at this point now, what can be done to bring them back together if that's not what the plan of the BW is?
I put it this way, that if at the international level you can have long-standing disputes resolved between disputants, opponents, and a small country of Barbados, and I know I recognize that it is more difficult to secure a settlement in small countries and smaller scenarios than in larger situations. But
yes,
I'm only looking at this thing in a dynamic way, mm-hmm, and seeing with a view to identifying what the needs of the Barbados Workers Union are vis-a-vis C2SAB as a way of having them return to the fold. It was the BW that chaired the first meeting, the first organization of C2SAB.
I'm aware. I'm very aware. Maybe BW wants to continue to chair. Otherwise, it would not join C2SAB. That's also another scenario that's possible.